Good evening, good evening. This is Minister Gabriel Amlak. Welcome to Signs and Seasons and our co-host, Sister Samara Baruti here on BBS Radio. Sister Samara, how are you today?
Doing fantastic and getting ready for Liberation Month.
Yes, so today we're going to be exploring, we're going to be honoring America's spiritual destiny. And Sister Samara is going to open the program today with the laws of success and the metaphysics of health. So, Sister Samara, we are ready to go if you are. Thank you for being with us again today.
Greetings, everyone. And this is a very auspicious time for all of us here in the United States of America. We've had a long and challenging history of growth and expansion, and right now for many people, it may feel as if we're actually not expanding, but contracting. Well, that's an illusion. Liberation, it's a very powerful word, and it's the very reason for why we're here on this planet. On this planet or this university, whatever you may believe it to be, we're here to learn and to correct, to grow, and to evolve. And we are experiencing some of the most fantastic times of history, times that mankind have never seen before. So everything that could be is being and about to be. So get ready for this ride. I would like to address first the metaphysics of healing. I've been sharing some of the affirmations associated with some common dis-ease. And today, we are going to look at diabetes and underlying thought process or belief system. You know, some variation of this is longing for what might have been, a great need to control, deep sorrow, and no sweetness left. So it might seem like no sweetness left because our body does some strange things with sugar. And we know we've heard, you know, various explanation. But the reason I would like people to understand why these affirmations help and the metaphysical way to look at these diseases is there to help us know that whether it's because our family genetics or the way our diet is, it's why did your particular body, if you have this illness, metaphysically chose this illness to manifest? It could have been something else. So it's what is the underlying reason for why your body as chosen, or my body chooses certain illnesses. So diabetes, deep sorrow, no sweetness left. The affirmation for this is, this moment is filled with joy. I now choose to experience the sweetness of today. I mean, the sweetness in the moment. We want to call it in right now, today, now, in the moment. And I chose another one, eye problems. You know, I've got some eye problems. And I was really, it was interesting for me when I discovered that the reason that I've got eye problem is because I don't want to see what's going on in my own life. Because I went through some times where, to be honest, I was quite appalled when I took a deeper look, the spiritual look at what, you know, some of the cause, underlying cause, my emotional issues or my belief system that caused these things to manifest in my physical body or in my life. See, if you want to know what's going on with you or me, look at what you've attracted in your life. You may not have intended to do it, but look at what your creation has brought into your life. So eye problems, not liking what we see in our own life. In general, the affirmation for that would be, I now create a life I love to look at. But for specific problems, I don't specifically have a problem that has been identified. When I go to the doctor, I still have 20/20 vision, but I'm not seeing as clearly as I used to. So if it's astigmatism, that the issue, underlying issue is eye trouble, fear of really seeing the self. So the affirmation, I'm now willing to see my own beauty and magnificence. That's a fantastic affirmation. I'm now willing to see my own beauty and magnificence. Cataracts, inability to see ahead with joy. Dark future. Life is eternal and filled with joy. The affirmation for cataracts is life is eternal and filled with joy. And for children with eye problems, not wanting to see what is going on in the family, poor babies. So for little children, the affirmation is harmony and joy and beauty and safety now surrounds this child. And the parent can say this affirmation for the child or include the child as a kind of prayer, fun thing to do. And if your eyes are crossed, not wanting to see what's out there, crossed purposes. And the affirmation is, it is safe for me to see, I am at peace. It is safe for me to see, I am at peace. And farsighted, fear of the present. I am safe in the here and now. I see that. I'm safe in the here and now, or I see that. Or you could say, I see that I'm safe in the here and now. And any kind of variation of that will help, along with anything else you might do, exercises, supplements. So it's like an integrative approach. But this is addressing the underlying belief system associated with that. So I'm going to go on to the spiritual laws of success. And last week, we started with potentiality and the understanding that our essential nature is one of pure potentiality. And what does that actually mean? That means we are limitless, timeless, immortal beings, that we have the ability to create, to manifest anything that we can imagine. So when you discover your essential nature and know who you really are, in that knowing itself is the ability to fulfill any dream you have, because you are the eternal possibility, the immeasurable potential of all that was, is, and will be. The law of unity, because underlying the infinite diversity of life is the unity of one, all-pervasive spirit. We are one. There is no separation between you and this field of energy. So the law of potentiality, of pure potentiality, is a field of energy that we can tap into in our creative process. We align and embody that energy when we desire to create. But we have to begin to understand it mentally and emotionally in order to become it. Okay, we can talk more about that because we each have different styles of processing, but we'll go deeper and deeper as we go along. The field of pure potentiality is your own self. And the more you experience your true nature, the closer you are to the field of pure potentiality. The experience of the self or self-referral means that our internal reference point is our own spirit and not the objects of our experience. So, the opposite of self-referral is object referral, something outside of you. In object referral, we're always influenced by our objects outside of the self, which includes situations, circumstances, people, and things. That means we give away our power to external forces. In object referral, we're constantly seeking the approval of others. Our thinking and our behavior are always in anticipation of a response. It is therefore fear-based. And what is fear-based? False evidence appearing real. And what does that actually mean? When we move into fear, we are disconnected from the source that provides from us. In a simple way, we're disconnected from the Most High, from God, from the Supernal Mother, from the source that provides for us. And we're looking outside for approval and acceptance, for proof that we're okay. And this is because we're fearful. In object referral, we also fear an intense need to control things. How many of us feel a need to control? I've got my hand up. I feel a need to control sometimes. And specifically under circumstances under which I have experienced some kind of trauma, I hold on tighter to my control. So I have control issues, and we can talk about the area. We will talk about, I'll share about the areas in which I have control issues. So you can think about, where are your areas that you feel a need to control, that you hold on tight to that control? It's fear. It's fear that's driving you. And we're not given, letting go and surrendering to the force that provides for us. So we feel an intense need for external power. The need for approval, the need to control things, and the need for external power are needs that are based on fear. This is not true power. This kind of power is not the power of pure potentiality, or the power of the self, or real power. This is false power. This is the type of power that betrays you over and over again. When we experience the power of the self, and that is with capital S-E-L-F, there's an absence of fear. There is no compulsion to control and no struggle for approval or external power. In object referral, and remember, object referral is where we look to others, circumstances, situation, something outside of the first self to approve and tell us we're okay, whether it's a loved one, a employer, a friend, a minister, even our own children. Okay, this is not a true expression of power when someone else controls your confirmation of who you are. So, in object referral, our internal reference point is our ego. My ego is my reference point in object referral. The ego, however, is not who you really are. The ego is your self-image. When you say, I am this, I am that, it is your social mask. I have this kind of job, so I am powerful. I have this much money in my bank, so I am powerful. I have this particular type of mate, spouse, so I am powerful. You know, the trophy husband or the trophy wife. I have this kind of car, this kind of house. My kids are in this kind of school, so on and so forth. These are ego-driven definition of who we are. Your social mass thrives on approval. It wants to control, and it is sustained by power because it believes it lives in fears. It thrives in fears. The more fearful you are, the more powerful your ego is, the more control your false self becomes, the mass that society has conditioned us to accept as true power, true expression of who we are. Your true self, which is your spirit, immortal, always connected to the source, and your soul, which holds the millions and thousands of lifetime that you've experienced, the true knowledge of who you are, is completely free of those things. It's completely free of the desire to be in control, unless your soul somehow has gotten corrupted. And we can talk about that some other time. There are souls that get corrupted, but spirit is always pure, because spirit is always one with the source, with the creator, with God. It is immune to criticism. Did you hear that? Your soul, your pure soul, your uncorrupted soul, your spirit is immune to criticism. It is unfearful of any challenge. It always says, I can do it no matter what. And it feels beneath no one. It is equal to anyone, anywhere on the planet. It has that feeling, always shining brightly. And yet, it is also humble and feels superior to no one, because it recognizes that everyone else is the same. We are one from the same source. We're the same self, the same spirit in different disguises. We're connected. We're all one soul, one spirit, all parts of the Creator, living out our own existence. We're one. What you do to one, you do to all. And eventually we all feel it consciously. We do feel it in our deep unconscious. We feel it in our spirit and we feel it in our soul. But sometimes our superficial ego says, thank God, it's not me, it's somebody else. That's not cool. The essential difference between object referral and self-referral: in self-referral, you experience your true being, which is unfearful of any challenge, has respect for all people, and feels beneath no one. Self-power is therefore true power. Self-power is true power. That is self with the large S, not that little tiny S ego self, because large F self is connected to the source and knows that we're one. Power based on object referral, however, is false power. Being ego-based power, it lasts only as long as the object of reference is there. When we lose that job or that car, what happens? We sink into depression. If our identity is connected with that car, when we lose that trophy wife or trophy husband, depression. Our ego, our self-worth, falls to the pits. So, you know, we really want to be conscious of those external things that we use to define ourselves, those superficial, mundane things that we cannot take with us and are only as powerful as long as we hold on to that key, car key, that house key, that marriage certificate. If you are the president of the country or the chairman of a corporation, or if you have a lot of money, the power you enjoy goes with the title, with the job, with the money. Ego-based power will only last as long as those things last. As soon as the title, the job, the money go away, so does the power. So today I would like to just kind of tie this together, that remember, true potential, pure potential, limitless, immortal being that can neither be created nor destroyed, because you're tied to the Creator, the source of all things, super consciousness, is always internal. The external things or just something to smile at, enjoy, but that's not an expression of who you really are as a powerful being. It's a great, great, great ability to manifest. So kudos for that, to manifest that car, and that house, and that $1 million bank account or 100,000 bank account, get that job, get that degree. Kudos for that. That still has a value, but it's not truly who you are. So we will continue to explore on true potential, pure potentiality, what it means, what is the field of all possibilities all about, how do we apply it into our life, and we'll also continue next week to work with the metaphysics of healing, given more affirmation. And Minister Amlak, are you about ready to share with us the honoring of the liberation of the United States of America, America's spiritual destiny? What does it mean as we celebrate July 4th and beyond?
Yes, I certainly am. I want to thank you for that beautiful presentation. And if we can take a short minute music break, Brother Doug, then we can move on to part two. Thanks again, Sister Samara. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome those of you who are just tuning in to Signs and Seasons, BBS Radio. We are celebrating or honoring today. Our theme for today's program, as you may know, is Honoring America's Spiritual Destiny. Sister Samara started out with in the first part of it. Today's program with Laws of Success and the Metaphysics of Health, the underlying principles of health, true health, physical, mental, emotional, psychological, and spiritual. And in the second part, we're going to be dealing with part two, Honoring America's Spiritual Destiny. And this is I would dare say, is, to my thinking, one of the most important program shows that we have had since we've been on the air, because there is so little understanding of what the American dream really represents. And we're going to, for the duration of this month, we're going to be emphasizing what the American dream actually represents in this Cancerian country with Gemini rising. They're very interesting. Combination Gemini dealing with the way we think, and Cancer dealing with the way we feel. And so this is an excellent opportunity for us to integrate both parts of our being. One of the things that we always try to do on this program is to give you proof of the claims that we make. Today we want you to begin to explore the great seal, on the back of the $1 bill, as a proof of the premises that we bring forth. One of the gentlemen who wrote extensively on the seal, Hieronymus, he reminded us that the destiny of a nation is often embedded in its national coat of arms, or the Great Seal. The seal of a nation usually is a deliberate creation, especially if the nation's founders are conscious of the importance of symbols. What he's telling us is that each nation's destiny is like a person's name, as a matter of fact, is their signature. So the destiny of the nation is found embedded in its seal. And so we can begin to look at the Great Seal. And please, if you can rise above the biased interpretation that my Christian brothers and sisters who are not really informed or understand really metaphysics to that level, those who are not, will tell you that the Great Seal is a demonic symbol and we shouldn't, you know, go by that. No, the Great Seal is a very spiritual symbol. As a matter of fact, it's the various parts of it actually came out of the Egyptian mystery system, which is another, there's another problem with that, because there are many religious people who want to focus on what happened with the Egyptians as they fell, rather than the marvelous contributions that were made to the world that we're still utilizing when with the rise of the Egyptian African culture, which we'll talk more about that. So now, if we understand, that the Masonic Lodge also, that of course, grew out of the teachings of ancient Egypt, they understood symbols. And that's why we see so much Egyptian symbolism, African symbolism across the planet. In many, many, many societies, especially here. And so, that gives us even more information, more understanding of the American, the real meaning of the American dream. It's embodied in the very symbolism. The country is impregnated. The Manly Hall, one of the great Masonic teachers of the last century, he said the American nation desperately needs a vision of its own purpose. The American nation needs a vision of its own purpose. So now, judging from the appearance of things, we would say, and this information also is in my book, the African American's Role in America's Spiritual Destiny, which we can want to get more information from that I'm sharing with you today. You can resort to that source. Judging from the appearance of things, we might believe, we would seem naive or foolish to believe that America has a spiritual destiny. For those who can see beyond the appearance, this claim may not be so far-fetched or incredible. The chaotic events and circumstances which obscure, which block the vision of some, may be the evidence of things unseen for those who have a spiritual vision. Indications of the spiritual intentions of the founding fathers are displayed through the esoteric, or the spiritual symbols on the Great Seal, symbols that they used to represent their lofty aspirations. And first on the list of these ancient Egyptian symbols is the Great Seal. This profound and powerful representation of the goals and objectives for which the Masonic Brotherhood founded this country, the Great Seal, was actually placed on the back of the $1 bill in 1935. And that was exactly 150 years that had passed since Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, began the work of designing a coat of arms to serve as a symbol for America's prophetic destiny. Actually, an experiment in pulling together a country that was founded on spiritual, ancient Egyptian, African spiritual laws and principles. And so, as Providence would have it, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a 20th century Mason, and we have to always be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. So we have, for example, the Masonic Lodge, the legitimate Masons from ancient Africa, Egypt, who actually were very spiritual, and those who consider themselves spiritual nowadays, who are very much into a whole political power-based situation. We have to separate those two. So in 1935, Franklin D. Roosevelt decided to, he was encouraged by his Masonic brother, Henry Wallace, to acquaint the general public with the meaning and purpose of the Great Seal. The vision that had guided the Masons in their creation of the American dream. a beautiful, awesome American dream that we really do. It has nothing to do with having a picket fence and two cars and a good job whatsoever. And so these enlightened beings predicted this utopian society governed by spiritual laws and principles that would evolve in the Western hemisphere in the last days of this age of spiritual darkness. A symbolical description of the process through which the builders of the dream would transform themselves and America, and the benefits derived from this monumental achievement are graphically engraved in the Great Seal. And as we go through these next few weeks, we're also going to bring to your attention for input, for exploration, for investigation, the ethnic groups that have the greatest responsibility in making the American dream that evolved from the Egyptian culture, from Africa, making that dream a reality. And of course, I know you should automatically know who that would be. And to give you some idea, Dr. King said something that was very wonderful. He reminded us. He says, history has thrust upon our generation an indescribably important destiny to complete a process of democracy which our nation has developed too slow. So Dr. King comes with the American dream. Dr. King, a descendant of ancient Africa, of ancient Egypt, comes with that vision, a reminder of that vision. And so this gives us a clue, not that we need one, a clue of who, what ethnic groups have a great responsibility for making this happen. And so that's then we understand, hence we have President Obama, a genetic representation of a united global society. So we want you to really look into this information that we're sharing with you today, particularly since this is an election year, and we need to be really mindful of who we put into office and who is actually qualified to, even if from a genetic point of view, to make this American dream real and bring America, let America rise and resurrect and move into what it's destined to become. If you're listening, just tuned in, Signs and Seasons, Minister Gabriel Amlak, Sister Gawant Samar Baruti on BBS Radio, and today we're talking about the spiritual significance of the And so, even though it's been difficult, someone's mic is on, you might need to mute your mic. So here we go now, as we move into deepening our understanding of the American dream, we have a demonstration of the symbolism right in front of us. So if you happen to have a dollar bill handy, that would be wonderful. And so, the Great Seal, a less obvious, the Great Seal, which we'll go into its profound symbolism, but a less obvious but more profound indication of the lofty purposes America is destined to fulfill was encoded in the spelling of the name America. So if you have a pencil and you write the name America across the page in big letters, you can follow it with me. Now, in Exodus, the Christian Bible 3:14, we have I am, as Sister Samara was telling us earlier in this program or the recent program, that we have to be really careful how we use the word I am. We should never preface the word I am. We should never use it as a preface for something negative. Because when you say I am, you're actually intonating the masculine and feminine energies. Say I am. I is vertical, am is horizontal. So when you say I am, that energy spins off, forms a vortex, and whatever you say after that, you actually are giving a powerful creative base. So never say I am and preface it behind something negative. You may say, my body is ill, I'm having such and such a problem that's happening with, I would say, Brother Garbree or Minister Hamlet is having such and such a problem. Not I am having a problem. So begin to investigate that, okay? So in Exodus 3:14, I am is designated as one of the names for God. So from a metaphysical perspective, I am is descriptive of the spark of divinity or Christ principle or Atman or Monad or whatever name represents our deepest spiritual essence which resides in the soul of every human being. So the ultimate and highest objective for which this country was formed was to create a nation of spiritually evolved people of all religious persuasions. And so those of us who actually want to see America excel, evolve, we need to begin to consider that there is a vision and a dream that transcends what we think America is about and begin to work towards letting that objective be manifested. So look at the word America. I want you to look at the word America, and as I instruct you, put a circle around the I in the name America. And then put a circle around A and M. And then put a circle around R and A and C and E. And so what you have there is the Masonic lodge encoded in the name America, the destiny for which this country was created. And it was to create a race of people. A race of people who were working towards manifesting their spiritual essence. In short, to create an I am race. The ultimate and highest objective on which this country was founded is to produce a nation of spiritually evolved people of all religious persuasions whose awareness and actualization of the divinity would identify them as conscious members of the I am race. This glorious aspiration is revealed through the coding of the name America right there in your face. So we can't dispute that. America, the I am race. So America's Masonic founders were channels for the transmission of a prophetic vision. We most certainly cannot ignore the blatant contradictions in the words and deeds of these idealistic individuals, no. But then history has proven that the recipients of a vision are often not qualified to carry it out. Just as a carrier pigeon brings you a note. You can't read the note, but it brings you the message. And so the founding fathers were very well versed. I should say founding fathers and mothers, because women are the powers behind the throne. And these men, just as this, we're mentioning this African brother in Chinwezu in the book, the superior aspects of women, that they remind us that yes, men rule the world, but women rule the men that rule the world. And that when we look at the birthday charge of the United States of America, 4th of July, we see that the liberation of women is a major factor in the evolution of the country and the manifestation of the American dream. How could that not be? Women were the backbone of the power, the throne, power behind the throne. Someone's mic is on and it's making static noise in the background. Please mute your mic. Okay, so now we on this, so that bit of information should take us, please meditate on that. And please share that with others. And please allow your mind not to get caught down, bogged down at 5:44 here. Bogged in California, bogged down with the general interpretation of the American dream. So now, we are moving now into phase two of the American dream. We're going to be covering that in these weeks and to follow. And so, the phase two of the American dream, preceded by the independence, equal rights, civil liberties movements, this exciting phase in our nation's evolution is the next step in of the of American spiritual destiny. So please understand that we really don't have any real understanding, most people, of the American dream. Although we're all familiar with the general concept of the American dream, there are many different ideas on what it actually means. The existence of a variety of opinions on the purposes for which this country was founded was clearly illustrated in a nationwide survey sponsored by the Amway Corporation in 1977. 5 years had passed since this poll was taken. And yet we still had people that, you know, with their diverse opinions of what the American dream actually is, what it actually represents. We look at it from a very materialistic point of view, as I'll point out as we move on. The Amway Corporation did a survey years ago, poll was taken, and Amway's American Dream survey was obviously designed to market the Amway opportunity as the epitome of the American dream, of what the American dream actually represents. And so they had this robustash worldwide pool, and they had a couple of thousand people. And so they wanted to demonstrate that the American dream is redefined by each succeeding generation. And to give examples of how their dream was experienced and interpreted at the time in which this survey was conducted, so they encouraged the members of this target population to redefine the American dream. Unfortunately, they did not have an understanding of its original definition. So it was a disservice, really, to many people that were involved. They said it was freedom of choice in how to live, 97%, 94% people said, to be able to have a good family life, to own a home, to be able to have a rewarding career, to be able to afford to do the things you want, to help others, to be active in your community, to be able to start a business on my own, the ability to become wealthy. That's not what the American dream represented by the founding fathers. To build the I am race. So while the idea of a professional redefining process rests upon a solid foundation, which you can say, okay, every year we will redefine the dream so it's more and more closer to creating the I am race. But this national survey, that neither those who initiated, conducted, or actually participated in the survey had the slightest idea, notion of the real meaning and purpose of the American dream. So at the completion of your American Dream survey, the Amway Corporation concluded that the American dream is the product of the people and the society in which they live. In essence, the appeal of the American dream is an ability to redefine itself at the personal level. After all, it's your dream. Well, the American dream, my dear brothers and sisters, is your dream in the same way that a new employee of a well-established firm shares and embraces the dream of that particular company for which he or she is an employee. To fulfill that dream in the manner in which the corporation, as the principal factor, gives it to us and interprets that dream. The American dream is your dream in the same way that a new employee of a re-established firm shares and embraces the dream of the particular company. If the employee experiences the self-actualization that comes out of what we are involved in a work that we are innately suited for, with appropriate financial compensation, then it's a win-win situation. If the employee understands, if we understand that the American dream is to build a spiritually based society, and each one of us use our talents and abilities to make that happen. So in a similar fashion, the Creator has placed us in this beautiful country to assist in the manifestation of a dream that existed long before we were born. Our first duty is to get a clear picture of what the American dream actually is, and then determine how we can utilize our individual talents and abilities to assist in its manifestation. The payment or compensation we receive is the privilege to live and grow in this rich, resourceful country, surrounded by innumerable opportunities to develop ourselves and to find a way to express our creative energies and reap the fruits of a prosperous existence. So the real value of the Amway survey, which a more detailed analysis will prove, is that it revealed just how far off course we are in our definition of the American dream. So our real, as our attitudes of the general, as the general populace, are a reflection of those who consider themselves our leaders. They have a leading role in the confusion of the masses. And so we want to, in these next few weeks, in this birthday anniversary month, to bring clarity to an issue that can only be clarified by going to the source of its origin. We're going to turn to the founding fathers and mothers for much needed guidance and understanding. Most of the men and women we've come to know as the founding parents were members of this Masonic Egyptian order, and we're going to understand more in the weeks to come of what they actually represent and how integral and how intrinsic their influence is in America and throughout the globe, an attempt to get ourselves back on course so we get more intelligent in our choice of who should be leading the country. And one more thing I'd like to share with you is that we need to understand that whoever's in the White House is a filter through which we should be filtering the ideas of what the American dream actually represents and anointing them regularly through prayer and meditation to make that dream a reality. You're listening to Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabriel Mike, and as usual, we need a little more time. We've got 3 minutes to go. We're going to continue next week. We want you to really take serious this 4th of July coming up. Really pray this program over. See how you as an individual, we're also going to put something on our site on how you can take a 4th of July pledge. Go through a metaphysical ritual, a ceremony to actually decide what you want to become independent of as we move into this new 2012 energy. Sister Samara, how are you? Are you there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I didn't know what I was just saying. So do you have any, well, we got 2 minutes to go. I want us to remind our listeners that our book, The Superior Aspects of Women, is ready to be deordered. You can tell them how to do that, Sister Samara, in this 1 minute. Go ahead.
Yes, the best way right now is to contact us either by email or phone or visit the website, Aquarius Media. INT for international.com, and we're looking for people to come to the workshop, Designing Your Own Life, and this will be built around the woman's book, The Superior Aspects of Women, A Tribute to the Feminine Nobility.
And the thing I want you to mind on this right now is that until we get our technological situation fixed, they should call you, or I call the numbers you and I give, so if they want to actually order the book. Is that good, or should they go on site also?
It's good to make a phone call and to also visit the site. The information of how to contact us is on the site, Aquarius Media, INT, Aquarius Design Media, INT.com.
So thank you very, very much. And lastly, Theodore Helene said to us, that a he said that the when we shall have suffered enough on mistaken paths and honestly need correction of methods and measures that have failed to satisfy, a reconsideration of the message of our great seal will point us to the truths that have the power to set us truly free. Please, please remember to use your money this year constructively. Don't spend a lot of money on 4th of July foolishness. Use it to push forward the ideals, the spiritual ideals upon which the country was founded, and those people of all nationalities and ethnic groups that sacrificed their life to make this a spiritual country. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Samara.